I'm joined on Radio Jackie today by Sir Ed Davey, who is the leader of the Liberal Democrats and the MP for Kingston and Surbiton. Before we start with the main questions, we can't really not talk about the situation in Israel going on at the moment. Briefly, do you have any words on that at all?
I think everyone is shocked. The attack by the terrorists on Israel should be completely condemned. It's totally wrong. And I think all our thoughts are with those families and victims, and all the people who've been taken hostage. It's quite outrageous. I'll be joining a vigil later on today outside 10 Downing Street to show solidarity with the Israeli people this time.
What is your reaction to Rishi Sunak's speech to conference? How do you feel about the Conservatives backtracking on green policies?
I think Rishi Sunak shows he's totally out of touch on everything from the environment to the health service to the cost of living. And on his backtracking on net zero, I think that will cost the country dear. What Liberal Democrats showed when we were able to push renewable power, we showed you could get the cost down. So renewable power is now cheaper than coal and gas. And what we really needed is policies to make electric vehicles cheaper than petrol and diesel vehicles. And the policies were there, but I'm afraid the backtracking of Rishi Sunak means that it's going to cost families more in the long term.
Can you understand that some people are finding it tough to afford the green policies such as ULEZ?
ULEZ, I don't think is a good policy. I've called for it to be delayed. The rollout is just wrong. It's the wrong time and it's been very badly designed. This is the point. There are some policies, I think the Liberal Democrats on renewables showed the way, where you can get the benefit of good things for the climate, but also cut people's bills and make Britain more secure so we don't have to import oil and gas from elsewhere. Those are the right sort of policies. I think the mayor's policy on ULEZ is very, very badly designed, and it shows that if you get your policies wrong, you can really hurt people and not really help the environment that much.
Now, going back to the other green policies that they have slashed, do you think that this may be a vote winner for the Conservatives because people are struggling with bills and green policies?
I think people will feel that the Conservatives are giving up on the future of our economy. There is a future where you can get bills lower and you can ensure that Britain is a world leader in the technologies of the future. And by failing to invest in the technology to get people's bills lower and to make Britain a world leader, I think the Conservatives are handing the future to our competitors, including China.
And what would you say to those who want to remain green but have to put finances first and are kind of wavering in their support?
Well, we've got to make sure that putting your finances first is the way what you do when you embrace the environment. ULEZ doesn't do that, but renewable power does. Insulating your home does, because you save a lot of money. And I believe, and certainly Liberal Democrats do, that we need to push the policies and push technologies which enable people to go green in a way they can afford, so they actually cut their bills as they go green. That surely is the way forward. We've shown it can be done. Unfortunately, people like the mayor with his ULEZ expansion have shown it the wrong way. But there are many other examples where people insulate their homes, they go for renewable sources of power, and they cut their bills, and that is the way forward.
Now, the polls have you on course to take Epsom and Yule from the Conservatives. Now, Chris Grayling has announced he's stepping down. Epsom has been held by the Conservatives since its creation in 1885, so a very long time. It's one of the strongest Conservative areas in the country. How are the Lib Dems going to topple it?
Well, I if you look across the whole of Surrey, it's not just Epsom, but look at Evesham Walton, look at Woking, look at Guildford, look at Surrey Heath, look at Ashe and Godalming, look at Dorking. Across the whole of Surrey, there's a real battle now on between the Conservatives, who've traditionally held those seats, and the Liberal Democrats, who are really challenging. And we've shown that in what I've called the blue wall seats, where the battle is between the Liberal Democrats and the Conservatives, we're doing incredibly well. We've won some by-elections, important by-elections in these home county seats and in Surrey, including places like Epsom and Ewell, but also Evesham Walton. Liberal Democrats are on the march, and I'm getting quite excited about our prospects in the next election.
Now, moving on to housing targets, the Lib Dems are considering dropping a pledge to build 380,000 new homes a year in England in favour of a promise of 150,000 new council or social homes. Why have you made this decision?
Well, actually, our recent conference confirmed that we want to build a lot more houses, and we've kept the national target, as well as adopting within that a much higher target on social and affordable homes. We found that whether it's here in Kingston, where we're building more council homes than we've built for over 40 years, or across the country, the challenge with affordable housing, people just not able to afford the rent, is a massive one, particularly for young people, young families. And that's why Liberal Democrats are prioritising it.
So how will you help people who do not qualify for social housing, but are also too poor to afford or buy a home of their own?
Well, it's a great point. The councils at the moment are having to use the private rented sector because they don't have enough council homes. And that means people who can't afford, who can't get into social housing, but are still having challenge with rent, are competing. So if you provide more council homes for those who it's suitable for and they meet their requirements, that will free up more properties in the private rented sector. And hopefully you'll see more availability for people who can't meet the criteria for social housing, but could afford a private rented if the rents were lower. So we get a double benefit from our plans.
So will you be creating truly affordable homes? And if so, how are they truly affordable?
Well, first of all, council homes and housing associated homes are by definition affordable because there is a subsidy in the building of them. And that's what we've been managing to achieve in Kingston and what we'd like to do in many other parts of the country. But one of the key things when you're building new homes, which I think annoys so many people, is the Conservatives approach, which is a developer-led approach, means you often don't have the infrastructure, the health surgeries, the GP surgeries, or the schools, or the water infrastructure. And what we've been arguing for and is our policy is to have a community-led approach. And where that's been tried, it not only produces more homes that are affordable, but it also produces the proper infrastructure that communities need. That helps the new people, the new homes, but it also helps people who are living in that same area. And I think that's the right approach. It takes people with you if you have a community-led approach, which is the one Liberal Democrats have been championing.
And do you sympathise with people who are worried that councils are looking to tear up greenbelt protection laws in order to build?
Yeah, I am concerned by what I've heard about this. You know, the greenbelt is very, very important, and we need to make sure that in very valuable land for our ecology, for our environment, that they keep those special protections. And what we've shown in our housing policy is that you could identify some areas that aren't greenbelt, that are in rural areas, but with no ecological significance, when you could build new towns. So in our policies passed at conference, we talked about 10 new towns, what we call garden towns, garden villages, which could help provide the housing that we need with the infrastructure properly planned in a much more holistic way than the Conservatives have tended to do. And that could be part of the solution.
Do you think housing should be allocated where it's actually needed and not just a blanket figure? You know, for example, 50,000 homes per year in London, even if parts of London are already oversaturated.
Yeah, I that's the problem with the Conservative approach. They used a formula, an algorithm to decide where the homes should go. That was really silly. And our approach is much more a collaborative approach between local authorities and national government to make sure that the homes are built where they're needed. One of the major criticisms, it was even criticised by a Conservative former Prime Minister, Theresa May, that the developer-led approach and the top-down approach of Conservatives resulted in the wrong houses being built in the wrong places. And I think Theresa May was right on that, actually. We need a much better approach. And I think the one we've adopted, where you're seeing a much more collaborative approach between local and central government, where the community has a much bigger say, where the infrastructure is part of the planning, that is the way to build the homes that we do need.
Absolutely. Well, we know the Kingston Council waiting list for a home is approximately 8 years, which, I mean, it's such a long time. Yet homes are still being allowed to be built by the council that are unaffordable, meaning the crisis in the borough isn't really being resolved. Why aren't empty houses and office blocks being turned into housing? And why isn't the council insisting that these homes have to be truly affordable?
Well, Kingston Council's doing more on affordable housing than it has for years. I should declare an interest. My wife is a councillor in Norbiton and she has the housing portfolio. So we talk a lot about trying to meet the needs of tenants and people on the waiting list. It is tricky. Let's be clear. Every single London borough has a massive waiting list. And it's been getting worse because of Conservative policies in the private rental sector. They have so mismanaged things that the number of homes in the private sector has shrunk. And support for local authorities to house people has gone backwards. So Kingston Council, like other councils, are battling against poor national government policies. But I'm actually really proud of the progress that Kingston Council is making. It takes a while. And there's no quick fix. And it's very, very frustrating because I see a lot of people who need much better housing now. But we are at long last building new council homes. We're about to open some the very first ones in a program which will gradually build more and more council homes.
And is there any updates on the Cambridge estate regeneration since I spoke to you last month?
Not particularly. It's going ahead. I went to visit the building work that's going on, and I was really impressed by how advanced they're getting. So the first phase, as it's called, its first phase of five phases, is well underway now. So it is exciting. Again, it will take a little while. These things don't happen overnight when you're building lots of new council homes to last for many, many years. And you're building them in a really quality way. It's a massive project, but it's exciting that it's happening.
Now, moving on to ULEZ a little bit. Last time I spoke to you, you mentioned trying to get Chessington removed from the ULEZ. And you've written to Sadiq Khan last month, I believe. Is there any updates on what's happening with that?
Yeah, I've opposed the mayor in his expansion of ULEZ, and I didn't want it to go ahead. Now he's forced it to go ahead. I'm trying to find a way to help as many people as I can. And one thing became very clear talking to businesses, actually, is that the impact on Hook, Chessington and Malden Rush has been particularly bad because it's that part of the borough sticks out into Surrey. So people have sort of got Surrey to the west, Eastern to the south, and it has a particularly bad impact for people living in Hook, Chessington and Malden Rush. So that's why I've called on Sadiq Khan to move the boundary of the ULEZ to exclude the south of the borough. We've now written to him three times, and I'm very sad to say we've still not had a reply, and that's just not good enough. And I think the mayor should have to answer to people in boroughs around the capital, but he should certainly answer this idea, which, you know, comes not just with my support, but the support of many businesses in Chester and Hook.
Moving on to the sustainability in the area, Kingston's becoming one of the first councils in the UK to switch to an all-electric waste collection fleet. As former energy minister back in the coalition government, is this a move you are in support of, or are there better ways the council could be considering for sustainability?
I think Kingston is doing a fantastic job in leading the way, one of the first councils ever in the UK to strike such a deal. And by having an all-electric waste collection fleet is the way, I think, to tackle some of the borough's air quality problems. By moving the current diesel fleet to an electric fleet, it takes some of those harmful exhaust emissions. It doesn't cost people like Mayor's ULEZ does, but it really has an impact on our air quality, as well as helping the council meet its climate change targets. So I think this is something that everyone can get behind. It's going to make actually things more efficient as well. So this is a win-win for everybody. And I'm really proud that Kingston's leading the way.
Well, it does sound great, but certain companies have told us they find it harder to use electric vehicles because of the weight that is put on the vehicle with their equipment. Do you feel confident electric vehicles are still the way forward and these kind of issues can be sorted for future mass rollout? Or is it another diesel car situation, you know, where the government told us all to buy diesel and then 20 years later we're being told that was wrong?
Oh, electric vehicles absolutely have a massive role to play in the future to improve air quality and tackle climate change. The real key, though, is government getting the policy right so that the price comes down for people. Everyone knows that electric vehicles are still a little bit expensive, and also that the charging points for cars, at least, aren't good enough. There's not enough of them. The great thing about doing it with respect to the waste collection fleet is that you can manage it more effectively. You've got the charging points in the right place. And I'm told, actually, that the company that collects the waste across Kingston, their vehicles, their electric vehicles, will be able to stay on the road longer, only having to go to the tip when they're completely full. So that's a huge benefit in efficiency, and it shows what can be done if you do things in a proper, well-planned way. Unlike the mayor's extension of ULEZ, and unlike Rishi Sunak's disastrous policies for people's bills.
Now, the final thing I want to talk about, Kingston's planning to plant 450 trees this winter as part of its ongoing rewilding scheme. So the council's uprooting historic trees like the ones in Memorial Gardens and on King's Nympton Estate. Some of these trees have been there for hundreds of years, and now the council is asking residents to help plant 450 new trees. Can you understand why some people are unhappy about this?
Well, I don't know the full details of this particular scheme. I am told that Kingston Council actually keeps as many trees as it possibly can and wants to add to the number of trees. Inevitably, there'll be trees that are dying, and there are safety reasons to remove some trees. Every case needs to be looked at properly. So it's difficult for me to comment on trees, including some which you mentioned aren't even my constituency. I'm sure that if people have a real concern and believe that a tree shouldn't be lost, they can make their case to the council, because the council wants to listen to people. It has been, I think, consulting a lot of people on these types of issues.
Well, if what they're saying is true, will you be asking the council to reconsider? Because new research from Oxford University has shown carbon offsetting, like planting trees, doesn't actually work. It's better to leave the trees there because it takes the trees a while to actually fully establish.
Well, that's what Kingston Council wants to do. It wants to leave as many trees in place as possible and plant additional trees. If people have got a specific tree that they're worried about, they should be contact the council, contact the councillor, given this is a council responsibility. But, you know, if there's an issue in my constituency and they feel that they're not getting heard, I'm very happy to hear the case from them and make representations.